Time to run.
The Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. Galloway Edition Extra Mile Podcast is a podcast for runners of all abilities who want to learn everything they can about the Galloway Run Walk Run training method, right from Jeff himself. This podcast will run walk you right through Jeff's 30-week marathon training schedule and gently get you to the finish line of your full marathon injury-free.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. This is Kevin, your host, and it's obvious that where I run anyway, which is Cincinnati, Ohio, spring has sprung. And how do I know? Well, because in the last week, I have run in snow, I have run in rain, freezing temperatures, very warm temperatures. Today's about 75 degrees, and also with wind gusts of upwards of 45 miles an hour. Today's a rather windy day, so I apologize in advance for some wind noise. Episode 1 was, as Jeff and I said, intended to be an overview of the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition, as well as an overview of the Galloway Run Walk Run training method. We attempted to cover the basics from about a 30,000 foot level and honestly hope to whet some appetites and get some people on board, which if you have friended us over at Facebook, I think you will agree that we did accomplish that mission. We've gotten some great feedback. And please, if you're not already a member, we invite you to join our Facebook page. So episode 2. In this episode, we will loosely cover weeks 1, 2, and 3 of Jeff's To Finish Marathon program found in the Galloway Training Programs book. And once again, we invite you to get a hold of that book and follow along. Today's discussion with Jeff will reference different chapters and pages where more information can be found on the topics that we're going to talk about today. So with that in mind, episode 2 will take a deeper dive into two items that I think are at the core of the run, walk, run, that being walk breaks and the long run. Specifically, what are they? Why are they important? When do we use them? Pretty much everything you need to get started on your own marathon or half marathon training program. By the time this episode is finished, Jeff and I hope that you will have enough information to help you decide, first of all, what distance of a race you might be wanting to try in the fall, whether that's a 5K, a 10K, a half, or even a full marathon, as well as a training program from the book picked out to help you achieve that goal. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the show. I'm also going to insert a few audio submissions I got, a couple from the listener comment line and one from a listener who recorded her own audio and emailed it to me. Some really good examples of the community that we're building over here. And I invite and beg you to join. And before we let you get out of here, we will also announce some winners of some cool freebies from last episode and tell you how you can become a winner from this episode. So let's get to the good stuff, hon. We'll chat more at the end. You'll enjoy your extra mile.
Hello, Jeff and Kevin. This is Doug checking in from Vermont. Wanted to let you know I am signing up for the Galway edition of the Extra Mile, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Spent a couple of years in my early 50s getting back into running, enjoyed it a lot. Last year, decided to take on a marathon without a coach, on my own. Ended up with plantar fasciitis, slowed me down for most of the year. Did let me do some cross training and get a little bit of other types of exercise. So now it's a new year and I'm looking forward to getting back into some longer distances and some races again. I'm ready to have someone help me out along the way, somebody that knows what they're doing, rather than just making it up as I go. I've ordered the book. I'm getting the timer. I'll be listening to all the podcasts. Can't wait. Out from Vermont. Bye.
Hi, Kevin. It's Stephanie from Marietta, Georgia. I wanted to share with you my blog about excuses. One of the things my students learn quickly is that Mrs. Loomis does not tolerate excuses. Printer didn't work? Should have finished early enough to find an alternative. Out of town? We're in class 2 days a week. You are responsible to get the work done. Out of paper? Out of ink? No internet? Should have finished early enough to find an alternative. So it's probably no surprise that I roll my eyes at exercise excuses from reasonably healthy people. There are very few people in the world whose doctors discourage any form of exercise. Most people are able to exercise. They just aren't willing. Want excuses? I have plenty. I was diagnosed with asthma at 3. I know the insides of ERs all over the country, and a couple internationally. In all likelihood, I will die of some asthma-related malady. I have a slight case of scoliosis. It's not enough to warrant correction, but it is enough to cause pain, inflammation, and stiffness. I have a titanium plate in my neck. That secures a bone graft after a herniated and ruptured disc. And get this, there's another disc threatening to herniate and rupture too. I have fragile feet. The bones are more flexible than they should be, and that can be painful. Although not life-threatening, it would be a really good excuse. I'm busy. I have a part-time teaching job. I also tutor. I have a photography business. I am an artist. I have a daughter in college, a daughter about to graduate from high school, and another daughter who is in high school participating in marching band and year-round swimming. My taxi service? Always running. Then there's my passion for music. I sing with a local symphony choir, weekly rehearsals, plus concerts. Give that up? Not a chance. It's the best therapy I know. Allergies? Yep. To pretty much everything that grows, from animals to yucca trees. Finances are tight. Remember the three daughters? Call it. Yeah, you understand. I have a long-term injury, sustained when I was hit by a car 16 years ago while riding my bike. It can cause excruciating headaches, and medicine I take for other maladies means I can't take anti-inflammatories for those headaches. And acetaminophen barely touches them. So as far as excuses go, I have plenty. Now, I don't write to elevate myself, but to encourage anyone who needs to hear it. If I can exercise regularly, anyone can. I run because it works for me. My doctor can hardly believe I run like I do, but she keeps an eye on me and tells me to go for it. There are so many options for people. Time an issue? Make a 10-minute challenge. Everyone can carve out 10 minutes in a day. Walk, bike, swim, dance, lift weights, stand on your toes, stretch. Invest a few dollars into bands. Find household materials to simulate weight training. Milk jugs, sugar bags, laundry detergent tubs. Be creative. Find fitness shows on television. Check out videos from the library. Just move. Start small. My running began with walking. I added a short jog, and by short I mean from my mailbox to the mailbox next door. Then I extended the jog time. Then I moved faster. I still take walk breaks, and Jeff Galloway, my hero, for making the run-walk interval acceptable in the running world. Sign up for an event. There's something about having paid to participate that makes training a little more motivating. Plus, many events come with really cool technical shirts. Do one push-up. Do one squat. then add one more. Use a 2-pound weight, then a 5. Be persistent. Be faithful. Be stubborn and determined to persevere. It's your life. Make it spectacular. Get off the sidelines and play hard. No excuses. I'll see you on the road.
Good morning, Jeff. How are we doing this morning?
Good morning, Kevin. It is a wonderful, slightly rainy morning in Atlanta, but I am looking forward to getting out here in another hour and getting my endorphins in.
Soggy in Atlanta must mean we're in spring, huh?
That is springtime in Atlanta. Unfortunately, I think we're out of the snow belt, at least in most of the country. Unfortunately, some of the northern folks are still getting some, but
yeah,
there are ways of getting out the door in any type of weather.
So tell me, what we spoke 2 to 3 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. What have you been doing in the last 3 weeks? Have you been doing some traveling, I'm sure?
Yes, the last 2 or 3 weeks have not been as much traveled because I had one of my beach retreats, which was absolutely wonderful. Barbara and I actually got in a nice 27-mile run in preparation for the Hawkeye Marathon coming up, our next marathon. We usually try to schedule a marathon every 3 to 4 weeks, but we just didn't have one scheduled. And the trails down at the beach are just so wonderful. It was too tempting not to do it.
Right.
But allowed us to be down there for 7 full days. And
nice.
Otherwise, it's been, I got my dose of winter last weekend up in Flint, Michigan. There is a wonderful race called the Crim. It benefits the Flint community in so many ways and is an amazingly positive force for good in Flint, and I have helped them from the beginning days of their training program to set it up and to help teach their leaders. And they have the largest training program that I have found anywhere in the world that's connected to an event. They have over 1,300 runners in their training program.
Wow. That's a 10K, right? Is that?
It's actually a 10-mile.
Oh, a 10-mile, okay.
And even though it's in a smaller city, Flint, it is the largest event in Michigan. I believe that they get about 13,000 in the event itself, which is around Labor Day weekend year to year.
That's huge. So you told us a little bit about what's coming up, the Hawkeye, and I think you've got Big Sur as well. What the heck is Hawkeye?
Well, it is a series of races near Fayetteville, Arkansas, in the border of the Ozarks. Beautiful area. This time of year, the all the flowers are coming out, and it is usually very cool. Barbara and I will be doing our 30-30s and getting in our next run. And it's also the first time that I have gone to a marathon in that part of the world. And so there's a lot of interest there, and I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of new people and answering questions, solving problems in that part of the country.
And Big Sur, is that right after that? First part of May, maybe?
It's the 1st of May, and that will be our next marathon, one that I have done now for over a dozen years. I love that event because it's so beautiful. They've got a challenge this year, Kevin. The coastal road had a cave-in due to the excessive rain that they've been having, and they're having to run the course out and back instead of one direction, which is not a major problem for logistics. It actually allows us to get an extra hour of sleep. But the hills are a little bit worse in this course because the other course had a slightly downhill structure. So I've got some extra coaching to do at the clinics to explain how to make sure you don't overdo it during the first half of the course.
Right. Well, we'll talk in our next conversation, in our next episode, we'll talk and see how those two marathons went for you. See what added challenges this Big Sur deal had for you.
Great.
In the Extra Mile podcast experiment we did last year, I had something that I would throw in every now and then that I called Kevin's Selfish Moments. And it was just a way for me to ask a question, sometimes related to running, sometimes not related to running, just something that I could put you on the spot that I've always been curious about, and you're always kind enough to answer those. So I'm going to be nosy again in some of the episodes, if I could, and ask some nosy questions, if it's all right with you.
I'm ready for you to be nosy.
Okay, first one. I think you are now up to about 20 books. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Okay, so I'd like just briefly, tell us how you get an idea for a book, how long it takes you to write them, and maybe from how long does it take from starting the book to when it gets published, and just a little bit about you. I mean, do you use your PC and take it with you as much as you travel, or tell us a little bit about how that works.
Let's use my most recent book, which is Mental Training, The Key to Motivation. I had this topic, and this is standard for what I do. I work with Meyer and Meyer Sports Publications in Germany, and each year they ask me for 3 or 4 new ideas for books. They then take those ideas and put them onto an existing list of about 10 to 12 different topics that have not been taken yet, and that they have come up with or I have come up with. They discuss it internally. They also talk to the distribution folks in the United States and other countries, because my books have now been translated into 17 languages, so there's some international aspects to it,
sure,
too. And then they'll come back with a recommendation on the next topic that they believe would be timely for the next 18 months or so. And in this case, about a year ago, they came to me with the mental training topic that had been on the docket for about 3 or 4 years prior to that, and it just had not come up. But they decided in their meeting that that would be the next one. So I started compiling first from my laptop a lot of the things that I had already written on how to get mentally trained up, and some of the techniques I had used and the stories and these types of things. So I got that all compiled just for my resource material. Secondly, I did some research, and this was the most interesting part. On all of my books, I will take the next topic, and then I'll really start looking into the reasons behind what seems to work. In this case, I knew that my mental training programs work to help people stay focused and to push through barriers, but I really didn't know the reasons behind it. Well, in this case, Barbara had been doing some reading in a number of authors that delved into the biological reasons why people are motivated or deal with stress or don't deal with stress. And as I was reading some of these people, I realized that there were things that I had not understood before about the biological processes. So I researched and read for a couple of months and then picked out the authors that I thought were more applicable, followed that up with tying it to the things that I was already doing, and then seeing the similarities in the research of these three different authors, and then started writing in the summer. As I wrote, I would go back to the resource material, and let me tell you, I learned more in writing the book on mental training than I have on any single book that I've ever done. So practically, I do it all on my laptop.
Okay.
I have the laptop with me on all of my trips. I usually, when I'm in the writing mode, will get up around 4 a.m. and just start cranking away. And I found that even when I'm traveling, I have at least 3 to 4 hours before I really have to get going in my day, when I can really crank away on the book. And it's quiet time, no phone calls, and I just let that go. I fine-tuned the book as I got into the fall, and then I had to turn it in last fall around the 1st of October. And I kept finding new things. I finally just had to draw the line in the sand and say, this is what I'm going to say in this book, and if I need to have another one, that is what I will do. But I'm very pleased with the way it turned out. I'm getting tremendous feedback just in the limited amount of time that it's been out.
4 a.m. in the morning, so now I know why I've never written a book.
Well, not all authors do that. Due to the number of things that I have to do all day long, it's pretty much necessary for me to do that. But I don't have a problem with getting up early. That started when I was in the Navy back in the 60s, and I've just never stopped getting up early.
And you and I have already spoken, you're a coffee drinker, so that must help a little bit, too.
That helps a lot.
Well, our last conversation, we did kind of a 30,000-foot view of this run, walk, one, run thing, and an overview deal. So what I want to do now is dig a little bit deeper and remind the listeners that this program is using our textbook, the Galloway Training Programs. And so from time to time, I'll make reference to either a page in that book or maybe a chapter where you can get some, a lot more detail than we have time to go over, in these podcasts. So if you haven't already, Jeff has been kind enough to give a rather significant discount using a special code that we'll reference here at the end of the show for what we call a starter's kit, which is the Galloway Training Programs book and the interval timer. And you can go to the show notes for today's show and get some more details about that. But we're getting some amazing response, people jumping on board and ordering that. But from time to time, I just want to remind you, I'll be referencing that textbook as well.
Super.
So before we discuss training program at all, can we talk a little bit about how to even pick a training program? What do we look for? What's our baseline? And should we even be thinking half or full or time goals or any of that?
Well, some programs have flexibility, and so you can get into the program, start it off, and then make a choice later on as to which event. Other programs require you to commit at the beginning of the program, and it varies in location and so forth with our Galloway program. Some of our locations will allow for people to start out and then choose later, and some are very targeted towards specific events. But the biggest factor in choosing training program, in my opinion, is the concept that the leaders have of the program. And in our case, we have discovered over the 38 years that we have been conducting these programs that it's very necessary to find what a person is capable of doing. And most of the problems that I deal with when runners get injured or they get burned out or whatever, and I hear from about 30 to 40 every single day of the year in these various areas of problems, the most common cause is that the folks are pushing too hard because they do not know what they're capable of doing. So I'd suggest finding a program that has an assessment tool. We use what's called the Magic Mile in Galloway programs, but find a program that has an assessment tool to see what you're capable of doing and that then slows you down, and my recommendation is on long runs at least 2 minutes per mile slower. And finally, has groups that are supportive groups that make sure, through the leadership, that the individuals are not pushed too hard during the group. Unfortunately, a lot of groups are organized like races. They will start out their group runs together, and very quickly it just streams out according to what pace a person wants to run on that day. And often only a few people will be running together at any one time, so there's really not a whole lot of group support as such for most of the runners. So I suggest finding one that subdivides the big group into pace groups based on ability level.
Great. So do you recommend that that if we've never run a half or a full, do you recommend we go for a half first, and or maybe a 10K and work our way up, or is it even conceivable if we've never really run distance before, we can just jump right in and run a full marathon?
Well, there are two ways that most of the runners I've worked with deal with that issue, and the two ways are, first, just to decide that I'm just going for the marathon. That's all I want. It's a bucket goal, bucket list goal. I really don't care about the other events. Friends of mine have done it. I know I can do it, and so forth. And at that point, you just find a good conservative program that can lead you through from point A to point B. Most of the folks, though, that I've talked with and worked with have provided a stepping stone list of races so that they'll start out at a 5K during the first month or two and then go up to a 10K another month or two later and then have a half marathon somewhere around 13 to 15 weeks into the program. And then they have another 12 to 15 weeks or so, or sometimes more, to the marathon itself. So it's possible to have it all. And I do recommend having it all because it gives you race experience, pacing experience, and you feel the exhilaration of being in these races. And believe me, it's motivating to sign up for a race. It's motivating to be in a race if you're running at the right pace and putting walk breaks in. And it's fun. I mean, it really motivates you for the next few months.
So as an example, we might want to, excuse me, if we're going to pick to run a marathon and we look at the plan laid out in the textbook training programs, then week 13 or 14 calls for a 12 or 14-mile run. We could, you know, pick a race and pick a half marathon and just do it at that point on our long run. Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely. That is the best way to do it. Just when you're up around that distance anyway, you can just plop in a half marathon. The same would be true earlier in the program for 5Ks and 10Ks. And with 5Ks, those can be run any of the short weekend, short mileage weekends. So if you're up around 10 miles and then you drop down to 3 or 4, you could have a 5K that would go right into that frame.
Perfect. Well, for those of you following along, page 3 of the textbooks actually gets into a lot of depth on how to pick the specific training program that is within the Galloway Run Walk Run training programs, a 10-mile, a half marathon, or a full, and you should check that out in depth to help you pick which training, which race you're really interested in doing and which one is realistic for you.
And Kevin, this is very valuable because this is the very first time in any of these media productions that we've been able, because of the time you have, to go into the reasons behind it and the page numbers where you can resource this. So this is a very valuable contribution you're making.
Well, thank you. So let's dig into some of the elements of run, walk, run. And before I do, I want to mention something to the listeners, something that I call aha moments. And what I mean by that is what you'll see as we go along and dig into this is there are moments when you have to really take a concept and let it sink into your head because it may, in reality, it may be completely opposite of what you've what you're already thinking should be within a program. So, and until you stop and let that sink into your head, you're not going to get the full benefit of this program. And a classic example first is we're going to talk about, what I'd like to do first is talk about the element of the walk breaks. And obviously, you got to stop and realize, you know, we're talking about running a marathon or a half marathon, and yet we're going to talk about walking during it. So some of you may be thinking, you know, I'm going to run here. What's the whole deal with the walk break? So, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about what is the walk break? Why do we want to insert walk breaks? And what's so darn important about them?
The most prominent principle that I have really engaged in my programs is conservation of resources. I believe that is at the basis of all endurance training programs. Now, when it comes to muscles, it's very clear, according to the research, why your muscles fatigue sooner rather than later. And the principle is that the more you run continuously, the sooner that muscle is going to fatigue, break down, and possibly get injured. But if you take a break early and often, and this is the same principle as interval training, if you've had experience in track programs at any level, you know what this is all about. You can do a much higher workload if you put in some walk breaks or rest breaks regularly spaced from the very beginning. In our experience, we've actually been able to catch people up with the training program by putting in extremely liberal walk breaks, and they often feel better than they did when covering the same distance, or actually much less distance, when running continuously. Example, recently, a guy was trying to catch up with our Galloway program at 13 miles, and he had only run 7. He had been running continuously on his 7 miles, so I said, run a minute, walk a minute. Well, he got back to me and said, I can't believe it. Not only did I get up to the group and do 13 miles, but I felt much better than I did after finishing the 7 running continuously. So each walk break erases fatigue and allows the muscle to stay strong all the way to the end. This means that you just simply recover faster.
And the important issue about the walk breaks is when to start your walk breaks. When do we start walk breaks within our long runs?
Well, it really does depend on the pace per mile. However, you cannot start them too early. Whatever you save during the first third of a race, you will be able to use during the last third of the race, and the same is true with training runs. And if you save it up during your training runs, you're able to carry on all the activities of your life. So how soon should you start? Well, you'll see this in the book, too. It has the recommended run-walk-run ratios based on the pace per mile. If it's a 9-minute pace for someone that's legitimately ready to run a 7-minute pace in the marathon, then that the 9-minute pace would be run 4 minutes and walk 1 minute. If the pace is 13 minutes per mile, whether it's a race or a training run, then 1 and 1, or run a minute, walk a minute, would be the recommended ratio. But that means that you don't wait until you're tired to start taking that ratio. It must be done right from the get-go.
Yeah, that walking and running ratio that you just mentioned, Jeff, is on page 36 of the book, and there's a lot of details in there about the walking break. So you want to make sure you get over to that book and get all the details on that. Excuse me. Do we only want to use these walk breaks on our quote-unquote long runs, or what about our runs during the middle of the week we're going to go out for shorter distances?
Excellent question, and one that is asked to me every single day of the year in some format. And the answer is that it's really up to the individual. If it's a short run, you're used to running continuously, you have no trouble running 3-4 miles continuously, it's fine to do that. But if running continuously for even a short distance is going to put you into oxygen debt, make the experience not as good as it could be, and potentially leave you unmotivated because you're so tired or hurting afterwards, it is always the best strategy to put the walk breaks in there too. But you don't have to put the walk breaks in as often as you would on the long runs. For example, someone that's a 13-minute per mile long run person and doing 1 and 1, on the short runs, often they're doing 3 and 1 or 4 and 1, something in that range.
Interesting. That's what I also find so fascinating about this method, is that I'm able to adjust based on which day I'm going out. So if I'm going out in the middle of the week for a shorter one and I just get up feeling very lousy, I just, you know, adjust my ratio from a 4-1 down to a 2-1, and I'm fine. I'm able to get right through it.
brings up another major principle of our Galloway program, and that is that we want you to be in charge over your destiny. And by taking those adjustments, as you just suggested, Kevin, you're going to feel good, and you're going to, at the very least, let's just say that you've beaten yourself up over a period of days, at least you won't sink down further. You'll be able to find a ratio that will get you through the workout, give you the endorphins, and then it won't make you tired for the next time out.
Let's move on and talk a little bit about the next major part of this program, and that, from my perspective, that's the long run. How often should we be doing long runs, and talk just a little bit about why we even want to run long and how long they need to be?
Well, the long run is the key component of any endurance training program, because to build endurance, to go the distance, the one component that gets you there is that long run. And I found that most people hit that fatigue wall within about a mile of the longest distance that they've covered during the last 2 to 3 weeks. If you want to avoid this extreme fatigue, then prepare yourself by building up to at least the distance that you're planning to cover. And if you want to run faster at that distance, I found a significant improvement when you go beyond the distance of your race. So the distance would have ultimately built up to that longest distance about 2 weeks before most half marathons, and either 3 or 4 weeks before the marathon. So a person that's just trying to finish a half, we recommend building up to 14 miles 2 weeks before the half marathon. And for someone who wants to finish a marathon, we like to have that person run 26 miles either 3 or 4 weeks before. Those that want time goals in a half can go all the way up to 19 miles and still see improvement benefit from extending the distance of that long run. And that last long one then, at 19 or 18 or 17, would be done 3 weeks before. If the long run is less than 17 miles, we like to do the long run every other week. So in a marathon program, at first, the runners will be doing long runs every other week, and then once the longest run reaches 17 miles, the long runs are scheduled every 3 weeks. And normally, we would increase 2 to 3 miles on each long run, but sometimes that varies according to individual issues or the length of time that you have to prepare for your event.
So let me ask you a specific question about the marathon, and also I guess it applies to the half marathon schedule that's in our book. It's a 30-week program, basically, and you know, 30 weeks I think is I think you'd agree is probably a long time to train for a marathon. But your programs assume that the runner has got a long run of like 3 miles, so it's a lot of ramp up time. So my question is, if I'm already doing a longer run of, let's say, you know, 7-8 miles, how do I pick where within this program to jump in and begin?
Very good question. And the bottom line here, as you're indicating, is that you don't have to use the full 30 weeks if you're already into your running. And so the answer, let's say that using your example of 7 miles is long run, you can either go to the week where the 7 mile run is, or you can go up to the next long run weekend. So you can choose either one of those. And I don't have the book in front of me right now, but you probably do, Kevin.
I do.
You can tell which weeks those would be.
Right, yeah. So as an example, if you've got to run, if you've already run, let's say you're running 7 miles for your long run, that in week 7, you're actually up to 7.5, and then 2 weeks later in week 9, you jump to 9. So you're saying either one of those is acceptable.
either one is acceptable. If you're jumping up to 9, you want to make darn sure that you're following all the guidelines of pacing, conservative pacing, and liberal walk breaks.
Another aha moment for the long runs, and for those of you who are toying with the idea of not letting this sink in, I'd point you back to the Extra Mile Podcast experiment where a bonehead podcaster does not listen to all the programs and all the concepts, and you'll see what can happen. But in regards to the long run, one of the things I took too long to wrap around in my head was the pace that I should be running on my long runs. You know, I'd look at my watch and I'm like, oh my God, this is pretty slow, and I'd try to pick it up. So talk a little bit about, should I be going out at and caring about what pace I'm running at?
Absolutely. The danger in terms of injury, long recovery, and everything is in going too fast. And there's no danger, there's no problem in going too slow. I have not seen a pace yet that is too slow. I have actually trained people who have run below 3 hours in the marathon when they ran twice as slow as they ran in their race. They ran 13, 14, in one case, 15 minutes per mile on all long runs all the way through the program. The fact is that if you go super slow and then do the liberal walk breaks, you will recover extremely fast and you will get all of the endurance. And another thing that plays in here, if your brain is bothering you, your ego is bothering you, rather, that you're going too slow, is to quickly ask this little rhetorical question once I tell you, what do the Kenyans do? Well, according to my research and my interviews with more than 20 elite Kenyan athletes, the Kenyans tend to run between 3 and 4 minutes per mile slower than they do in their marathons. So my 2 minutes per mile slower is actually not as slow as the Kenyans do. And, you know, if it's good enough for the Kenyans...
You got that. Yeah. So let me recap. I don't have it here, but it's highlighted in my book. There's a quote in this book that it took me way too long to wrap around, and it's wrapped around there now. You cannot go too slow in a long run.
You get all the endurance, and yet, if you go slow enough, you can recover extremely fast, and you feel good throughout the whole long run.
Perfect. So since we're at the very beginning of this, and some of the marathoners may not be getting into their long runs, as we just discussed, for a couple more weeks, let's stop for a minute and center around some of the listeners who might be either walkers and wanting to add some of the benefits of running into theirs, or maybe they're listening on the couch right now and just want to get up and out the door. Can you give us some pointers on how to get started? Just some real brief pointers on get up and out the door and how do we start?
I heard from several dozen folks up in Flint, Michigan this past weekend who were doing exactly what you just suggested. They had been couch sitters, and then they had been walkers for a couple, 3 years. They, due to weight issues or age issues, had self-determined that they would never be able to run. And then in this CREM program that I designed, what we do is we start out by integrating small segments of running into the walking. And so that very gradually introduces the body to the running motion. I would suggest for a couch sitter or someone that has been walking and done no running, that they start out with only 5 to 10 seconds of running, shuffling actually, not trying to really bounce or run fast, and then follow that up with the rest of the minute walking. So if you have a very nice, gentle introduction for the first 2 to 3 weeks of 5 to 10 seconds running, the rest of the minute walking, almost everybody that I have ever coached has been able to accommodate and feel great doing this. And they start to really feel like they're a runner, and they are. And then progressively, with each successive week, you can integrate a little more running, a little less walking, so that over the span of 6 months, a lot of the runners get up to 30 seconds running and 30 seconds walking, and that's all I suggest for the first year. But the major point here is that each person should find the level that makes them feel good and doesn't challenge them. So if that means that 15 seconds running, 45 seconds walking feels better, then that's what you should do, especially on a given day when you're challenged.
Once again, back to the book. On page 17, there's what Jeff's calling a conditioning program. For those of you who want all this, you know, laid out for you, a lot of us are pretty anal about this, and just tell me what to do, exactly when to do it. It's laid out perfectly, and it's basically a program that's meant for those who need a little bit more fitness before they start either the half or the 10-mile or the marathon or even a 5 or 10K program. So I'd send you to page 17 on that, and work through that. It's actually an 8-week program that you can either jump in depending on where your fitness level is now, or start at the beginning and go right through it.
That's a great suggestion, Kevin, and one that I often sort of forget. But the reality is that just during the last month, I've heard from quite a few runners who got sick during the winter or had layoffs due to weather or other interruptions. And by going back to the remedial program, they were able to get right back up with their training.
Before we get off that topic, tell us a little bit about this new iPhone application. There's iPhone applications coming out every day, and now I've gotten some really good feedback from a few listeners about something called an Ultimate 5K app that you're associated with.
Yes, I'm very excited about this. The Lolo Fit, that's L-O-L-O Fit people, have been doing a number of apps for training purposes for the last few years. They contacted me last year about designing a 5K program that could help people either do their first 5K or get back into it, or simply be motivated to get out there every day. A lot of folks buy the app not to really train for a 5K, but just to stay motivated. And I have recorded the coaching that goes into this so that you're actually listening to my voice with music. And let's face it, music does make it easier to do. So you will be able to get the coaching and the workouts needed to prepare for a 5K along with some entertainment along the way. It's very interesting. I really am not was not involved in the app area, but on iTunes, the our Ultimate 5K app went from zero to number 4 to 8, depending on the day, during the first few days of being offered. And out of over 350,000 apps available, it moved up to as high as 123 on all of those. So there's a lot of interest out there. And folks, due to feedback, are finding that they're more motivated when they use it. And, of course, with the apps, they aren't that expensive, but they do provide some motivational coaching.
That's great. That's impressive. So I will put the a link in the show notes, excuse me, to that Ultimate 5K iPhone app. If you're interested in that, so head on over to the website and you can see where you can get some pretty detailed information. Looks like it's a 7-week program, and it says right here it's perfect for couch potatoes or avid runners. So I think that pretty much covers our listeners completely, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, let's wrap this thing up, Jeff. In the next episode, we're going to talk about some specific things we need to know within the program for weeks 4 through 7 of the marathon program. And the most important concept that we're going to dig into is something that you call the magic mile that everybody really needs to get a handle on, especially as they expand their long runs.
Absolutely, and this is such a wonderful service that you're doing so that we can explain all the reasons behind it. And once you get those reasons, you can embed that conscious brain with the knowledge that will allow you to refocus when you have motivational challenges.
And once again, we're inserting these ideas at the point within the program where they're important. So in other words, if you're just starting and you're at week one, there's really no reason for you to do a magic mile yet. So in the next episode, where you're at week 4 through 7, that's where we introduce it, and that's where it will become important in your program. So don't miss the next episode where we talk about that. We've also got 3 or 4 other concepts in the show notes as well to talk about. Lastly, and this kind of ties in perfectly with what we talked about today, I got an email from a listener by the name of Jeremy. And Jeremy's a walker who has become a runner, and largely because of the run-walk-run training method. And he's actually training for his third half marathon. And if I'm not mistaken, you're probably going to meet up with him out at the Disneyland Half in September.
Right.
You're going to be there for that one?
I'll definitely be there. I thoroughly support the Run Disney events because they do pull so many people off the couch like Jeremy and provide a entertaining, fun experience and eliminate a lot of the logistical headaches too. But I will definitely be there at the Disneyland Half. Looking forward to it already.
Great. So, Jeremy, I know you're listening. Make sure you meet up with Jeff and remind him about our conversation. But anyway, he has one issue going from being a walker to a runner, and his basic issue stems from having difficulty in breaking through the one-minute run interval. So he gets up, he builds up very slowly, he gets up to the point where he's running a minute now. But beyond that, he's having great difficulty as far as his stress level, his breathing. And can you tell us what he's doing wrong? Or maybe point him in a direction?
Well, first of all, in my opinion, there is no reason to set any set amount of running that is a goal. In Jeremy's case, if Jeremy is getting huffing and puffing at the one-minute mark, then I wouldn't go any more than that. As a matter of fact, I would start out all runs with something like a 20-second run, 40-second walk for 10 minutes and then ease into that, because in some cases this symptom of not getting past a minute is based on not adequately warming up, that you were really not allowing the body to fully get into the motion physiologically, and a slower warm-up can allow you to do that. But if you do want to go longer than a minute, the suggestion would be to start out much more slowly on all of your running segments, and then to use more of the shuffle breaks that you're going to find will help to save the running muscle. Shuffle breaks are part of the a walking program, and so if Jeremy's been using my walking program, he knows that going down into a shuffle regularly is going to allow you to keep the muscles saved so that they feel better. The other issue is that sometimes walkers walk too fast on their walk breaks, and therefore they don't fully recover for the next run segment. So if you'll warm up better, slow down the pace, you can sometimes go farther, and gradually you will be able to go a little bit further and further. But I will, again, come back to something that we said at the beginning of this program, and that is I want each one of you to be in control over how you feel. And so never be afraid to back down on any given day and walk more frequently so you'll feel more motivated.
Great. So, Jeremy, maybe it's not broken. So maybe
that's
you're trying
correct.
To fix something that's not broken.
That's correct.
Shuffle breaks. Jeremy, head to page 40, and you'll get a lot of detail on shuffling versus walking, and we'll probably get into that in a upcoming episode. But Jeff, I want to thank you once again for your time this morning, and I'm looking forward to the next episode. We got some pretty exciting ideas moving forward. I appreciate everything for this morning.
Well, I appreciate all you're doing, because you're pulling this stuff out of me. Sometimes I would not get to it by myself, and you're doing it, Kevin.
See you in a few weeks.
Sounds great.
Take care, Jeff.
Your run too.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you go, episode 2 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. So at this point, we should know a little bit more about two of the most important parts of Run Walk Run, those being the walk break and the long run, what they are, why they're important, and how often and at what pace to do them. I also hope you have a decent idea of which training program you're going to follow for the remainder of the podcast, as well as where in the textbook you can find additional and more detailed information about the items we discussed today. Also, if you're a walker trying to add some running to your schedule, or just a couch potato, you should also know by now how to begin adding walk breaks to your running to gently get you out of the door and down the road. I'll have links to all the things Jeff and I spoke about in today's show, including the new iPhone app, the Ultimate 5K. So make sure you get over to the website, check out the show notes for today's episode. Episode 3 of this podcast will cover weeks 4, 5, 6, and 7 of the marathon program from the training program's book, as well as a few other items and important topics that I think you'll want to hear about. I've come to view Jeff's programs as kind of a jigsaw puzzle. Jeff has built a growing package of tools to help anyone meet just about any goal that they might have in mind. This puzzle, from my perspective, includes pieces that fit together very well based on your individual needs. Here's what I mean. Some of you may be able to get everything you need just from reading everything you can get a hold of on Jeff's website. Good for you. Others may need or want additional information they can only get from a book. Still others will want the added help of hearing Jeff discuss personally this run, walk, run training program. And so we'll maybe download this podcast and take it along on a run. And still others may need the additional help of joining one of Jeff's running schools, attending one of his retreats, or even getting e-coaching right from Jeff. So we will be discussing all of those topics as well as we go along. Whatever it is you might need from Jeff's array of tools to get you gently to your finish line, we want to make sure we discuss in this podcast. So let's give some more stuff away, huh? We received a pretty amazing response to Jeff's offer to discount the starters kit, that being the Galloway Training Program's book and an interval timer, at a discount over at his website. And Jeff has graciously offered to keep that discount going up through April the 18th. So, if you haven't done it already, make sure you get over to his website and order that starters kit, making sure to use the coupon code at checkout, EXTRAMILE1. I'll put that link as well as the coupon code in the show notes of today's episode. In episode 1, we gave away a very cool pair of optic nerve running sunglasses to Debbie from Ocala, Florida. Debbie was one of quite a few people who ordered that starters kit, and her name was picked at random. And my guess is those sunglasses are going to come in pretty handy for somebody running in Florida. In addition, we also gave away 3 of the Galloway interval timers, as well as a sample pack of the tasty Gabby bars to some listeners who had gone to our Facebook page and liked us over there. So let's do that again this episode. Make sure you get over to our Facebook page and like us, and we'll pick 3 more winners for a free interval timer, as well as someone to win the Gabby bars. Please make sure to keep an eye out over on our Facebook page, where we will announce the winners and I'll be asking you to get in touch with me for some shipping information I'll need to get you those items. And I've got one more freebie for this episode as well. If you're like me, you might find yourself out on a long run carrying just about everything but the kitchen sink. During my last marathon training period, I found myself on my long runs particularly carrying my iPod, my cell phone, sometimes my car keys, and certainly some energy goos. So I did some investigating and ended up speaking with the people at SpyBelt. That's S-P-I-B-E-L-T. SpyBelt makes a very useful personal belt that's expandable, very durable. It is secure, and it will not bounce. For those of you listening in the United States, it's also made right here in America. So the good folks at SpyBelt have also agreed to give away some product. So let's do this. I will pick a random caller to the comment line and ship them a SpyBelt. So make sure to call that comment line and join the conversation. Here's a very cool idea that I have found many of the listeners over at the Extra Mile Podcast have started to do. Add the comment line to a speed dial button on your cell phone. And the next time you're out on a long run and might think of something you want to comment about, on your next walk break, give us a call while it's fresh on your mind. Well, that comment line is area code 206-339-8471. So you might want to use that soon for a chance to win a new SpyBelt. Thanks very much for downloading today's episode and taking us along with you. Particular thanks for those of you who called the comment line or sent a submission and joined the conversation we've got going over at Facebook as well. Don't forget to check us out at our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com, where you will find all the show notes for today's episode, as well as our email address, the listener comment line, and exactly how to join us over at Facebook and Twitter. And until the next episode, you all enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. If you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your run, walk, run marathon training is going, please send an audio file to thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition.
Walk break.